Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we are rolling along on a Monday. I'm Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant, Sean Mapes behind the glass, as always, and something we've been anticipating for a long time. We finally have some sort of an answer on it. May not be the final answer, but Judge Sue L. Robinson, the neutral arbitrator that the NFL appointed in these cases, has made a six-game recommendation for Deshaun Watson to be suspended. No fine recommended. Six games. That's where we're at. That's what she recommends. Now, of course, there's a process. The NFL has 3 days to appeal. We know that they wanted more. The NFLPA wanted less, but said that they won't appeal. Guys, just initial reactions to something we've been waiting a long time for.
I thought it would be longer. I thought that the suggestion would be at least eight games, if not more. As you mentioned just a second ago, the league wanted a lot more. The best offer that they were willing to give Watson was a 12-game suspension and a fine of at least $8 million. And the most Watson side was willing to go was 6 to 8 games. It does feel like the players are getting a victory here. Is that victory a just one? That's obviously up for debate, but I think most people that are here would argue no if you have done any following of this story and read about all the very disgusting allegations against Watson, many of which, per police who took police reports, were found to be very credible.
Sean, when you first heard 6 games this morning that was the initial recommendation, what did you think?
I thought, because yesterday the NFLPA came out and said, you know what, whatever Sue L. Robinson comes out with, which we don't know, but we trust her, we will not appeal in any way. I was like, oh, okay, so it's going to be short. And just the fact that the person being punished is okay with the punishment probably means he didn't punish him hard enough. I think that by itself means that could have been a little bit more if the person you are punishing is not upset with it.
Yeah, I mean, look.
No, he understands his actions, okay? And he understands exactly the weight of his actions. So that's why he proposed the exact right amount. You just don't get it.
I will never get over the fact that there was a negotiation in his own suspension. That's something that I just did.
Don't you wish you had that growing up with your parents?
The funny thing is, like, regardless of how you feel, whether you think he did it or not, the fact that there was a negotiation process is odd. So what comes next? What are some of the details? We're going to give you a report straight from the guy that broke the story, ESPN's Adam Schefter.
Moments ago, Greeny Sue L. Robinson, the retired federal judge, handed down her decision, and Deshaun Watson has been suspended for 6 games. Obviously, she ruled that he violated the personal conduct policy. She will not fine him in this particular case. The NFLPA has said it will not appeal the decision. It looked for a suspension even lighter than this. The question now will be whether or not the NFL seeks to appeal this decision, which would go to either NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell or his designee. My sense is right now, we'll see what the league decides to do. Could go either way, but 6 games has been the ruling from Sue L. Robinson.
The Players Association last night, Vanessa, put out a tweet essentially saying that we're not going to appeal this, as you heard Schefter lay out there. We hope that the NFL won't do the same. And I'm guessing that they knew what was going 100% to happen.
We are calling on the NFL to also not appeal. This is the same group of people that said that they would sue the NFL if it was... I mean, It's crazy.
It's a weird spot to be in if you're the Players Association, because you're basically like a criminal defender. You have to stand up for your guy. But here we are. I have a hard time imagining the NFL is going to agree to six. But if they do, I guess, want to show any good faith to the NFL Players Association and actually enact upon the agreement that they made where Roger Goodell would be less involved in punishment, then they'll just let this one stand. But I guess the question I have now, Vanessa, is do you feel like things are resolved?
I don't. I really don't. I think that, you know, I always lean on the people that have covered the sport for a long time and have great connections. That includes, you know, Judy Batista and Adam Schefter, people that have been at this for a while. And on NFL Network this morning, Judy Batista said that because of the NFL's history with women and the amount of work, you have to remember the NFL has done like seminars and training after all of the issues with Ray Rice. She said she has a hard time believing that the NFL will not ask for more games and suspend him for more games. Now, she could be wrong, but I trust her guess more than a lot of other people. So to me, it does not feel resolved. To your point, if they want to get this over with quickly, if the NFL wants to get this over with quickly, they're going to say six is fine.
It's been 2 years. You know, it's just been hanging in the room like an absolutely nauseating fart, just making everyone wretch, right? I mean, I think that the NFL, end of the day, probably does want to move on. And as we continue to just look at what's taking place outside of this battle between the NFL Players Association, with Sue Robinson in the middle, there is just one civil lawsuit left.
Right.
Ashley Solis, amongst others, settled with Deshaun Watson. So I'll ask it again. Does it feel resolved? I think for us on the outside looking in, thinking that Watson sucks, it's going to be hard, I guess, to look at that and say, oh, well, justice happened. But guess what? I mean, he already escaped any criminal charges, so we're not even talking about criminal charges anymore. We're talking about, oh, is he going to have to pay a lot of money out of pocket to these victims, alleged victims, and is he going to have to sit out for a long period of time? At this point, it's kind of for us, isn't it?
The Texans already settled all of the 30 women that had any chance. So, yeah, I mean, to your point, so the Texans
we kind
of
want a pound of flesh now.
So the
right.
criminal, there's nothing criminal. There's two grand juries that chose not to indict him.
Right, and look, we're not defending him. I want to make that clear. But what I will ask is, if all but one of the civil suits are done, and here we are demanding a pound of flesh, are we helping? Is suspending Deshaun Watson a full season? This is a devil's advocate argument. I do think he should be suspended longer. Honestly, I feel like there's an argument to be made you could kick him out of the league. But have things been resolved? Because everyone has come to a settlement except for one person. Is it time to just move on?
I thought Albert Breer had a good thread that kind of laid out where the NFL is. I won't read it in its entirety, but he starts by saying, remember, Robinson's decision wasn't based on 24. It was based on 5 cases brought by the NFL. 4 of the 5 were plaintiffs. The NFL and NFLPA negotiated this process in 2020, and the league agreed to it in part because some owners, after so many missteps, wanted the NFL to take a step back in that arena and outsource some of it. And then his next tweet is the one that kind of caught my attention. So Roger Goodell and the NFL's decision here is complicated. Do they want to undermine a process they just established? Do they want to go back in federal court with a player? That's an interesting point to me. They set up this process. They appoint this retired judge as their neutral arbitrator. From an optic standpoint, in one sense, okay, well, they need to make sure that they're doing right by women because they haven't in the past. From the other sense, are they going to view it as making them look bad if the first time they have to use this neutral arbitrator in a major case, they quote-unquote undermine? I thought that was an interesting point by Albert Breer, somebody who's well-connected into kind of the psychology, what might be going through the minds of Roger Goodell, Dave Pasch, all of the big-time players in the front office.
Yeah, and look, this is not done. I think anyone believing it's done is just completely wrong. There's still time to see what the NFL is going to do on that front, because I have a hard time buying into the idea that Roger Goodell is really just going to let go of this altogether. given how much command he has had over this for years and years and years, yes, now it is in a way where he doesn't have all of the power, but, I mean, people don't just give up power, especially right? if there's still a way for them to cling on to it.
And doesn't this actually, this whole process with the Roger Goodell still gets to appeal at the very end? He gets to make the...
That's the best part
right.
to me.
But doesn't that... That works in the NFL's benefit because now everyone's upset that it's only six games. Sue L. Robinson came to the decision, and it's six games. And now the NFL gets to be the good guy and go, you know what? Let's make it 12 or, you know, 10 and a fine or something. So they get the positive PR bump when they bump up the suspension.
And, Sean, maybe that's why they decided to outsource and have a neutral arbitrator mm-hmm. because he still – I remember when Tom Pelissero, like everybody was confused on how this process would work. And then one day it was someone, either Rappaport or Tom Pelissero, that was like, FYI, the more we looked into it, the more we realized Roger Goodell will have the final word. So to your point, they get to sit back. They get to see what the reaction is. I think there's also been a negative reaction, guys, to the fact that he won't face a fine of any sort.
Yeah,
now,
that's pretty
he
ridiculous.
Makes so much money that would a fine matter? No, but again, it's about optics. Tom Brady had a huge fine for Deflategate. The Patriots did. I mean, you can't compare and contrast, but that's something that a lot of people have brought up. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, this discussion, of course, will continue. The Astros in action this weekend, but first, Paul's going to tell you about PIN.
The Passive Investor Network, people. Look, we're all looking to make money. One of the ways that you can make money is through real estate investment, because guess what? Prices just keep on going up and up and up and up and up. But maybe you don't know a damn thing about investing in real estate, like your boy right here. I don't know much about anything. I just know the words business, dividends, stocks, portfolios. What does anything else mean? I don't know. But I do know that the Passive Investor Network folks have me covered. You sit down with them. They give you a five-year plan that's realistic for you. They're not going to be asking you for something that's out of your means. And they'll actually give you advice as far as what actually makes sense for you from a real estate investment perspective. And guess what? You get to see the whole thing in action and ask questions at one of their bus tours, the Passive Investor Network. And go to their website, passiveinvestor.net. You enter promo code ESPN. You'll go on that bus tour for free. You see the before and after, what 20 years of construction experience in the Houston area can do, what your investment can get you. It's the Passive Investor Network. Once again, passiveinvestor.net, promo code ESPN. It's the Passive Investor Network.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, rolling along on a Monday, and the Astros certainly rolled along against the Seattle Mariners. They finish their record 19-9 in the month of July, so it was a really good month for the Stros. Won last night thanks to a Yordan walk-off, and won 3 of 4 in this latest series against Paul's side chick. How's she doing?
So Friday was an embarrassment. I mean, Jesus, lady.
That was like a home run derby.
She stripped naked at the bar and, you know, was just shaking that thing everywhere. Listen, relax. I do think that the Mariners were respectable this weekend. And, you know, considering at one point the season series between these two teams before the last two was tied 6-6. I think it's really impressive that the Astros closed it out with 6 wins in 7 games. I do think, though, I mean, you look at it in totality, you won 6 of those last 7 games with a Mariners team that is dealing with a lot of injuries. They had to call up a lot of guys on Sunday for the game. Julio Rodriguez got hurt again. And yet they still made it tough. So, look, I'm not acting like the Mariners are a serious threat to the Astros. I'm saying, though, that I don't want to play a team that you outscored over the course of the year 3.84 to 3.4.
So you still think that they could be a threat come postseason if it gets to that?
I think they're a young team that's only going to continue to improve. And that's the last time you're playing them in the regular season. You're not going to see them potentially for 2 months, but they do have the second wild card spot. And all I'm saying is I'm not acting like they're going to beat the Astros in a series, but I mean, did you feel a little bit of extra stress in this series compared to in other series against teams that aren't as good as the Mariners?
I like that you said that they're young because they're bold, they're quick, and then when Julio Rodriguez is in the game, he's obviously a game changer.
Yeah. Look, I'm not saying that they're better than the Astros. No one should. They're crazy if they think that way. And I did think that there was a lot of Mariners spin zoning going on amongst people that I know and trust and respect that cover the Mariners, saying, yeah, I mean, look, the Astros really had to work for it. Well, they still won, and they still won 6 of 7. They still won 6 of the last 7. But, I mean, I don't really want to see that team in the playoffs. I'd much rather, honestly, even see, weirdly, Toronto or Tampa Bay. This team knows you. This team does not, I think, feel scared of you the same way that even the New York Yankees might. So, I know. I'm pumping up the tires. I know. I'm a little biased when it comes to this team, too. I just think that this
sounds
weekend,
like the mistress is back in the picture a little bit.
Look, all I'm saying
you were over her.
Outside of Friday, they played well in every game of that series. It was close, and I feel like they are respectable.
Last night was a walk-off, so to your point, it was very close. Odorizzi had a 7-inning shutout. Apparently, the blister that was plaguing him last week no longer plaguing him. But the bullpen put the Astros in danger. Is that anything that you guys are worried about?
Yeah, but I never feel good about a bullpen, ever. I've never trusted a bullpen. You could present statistics to me that say that this is the best bullpen in baseball, and I would still say, yeah, Rafael Montero makes me want to crap my pants. I don't feel good with those guys out there. Ryan Pressly, I mean, he had a rough moment on Saturday.
Which is very uncharacteristic because he literally, I think, past Justin Verlander for the most consecutive strikeouts, so he's been fire lately.
Right, but look, like none of bullpen guys, they're kind of like kickers to me. I expect them to get the job done, and when they screw up, I'm going to be a lot more mad than I am when they actually, you know, do their job. I guess I just expect the worst when it comes to these guys all the time. So they should be looking for somebody. They should be looking for a lefty. They also should be looking for some bats, too. I mean, I missed the Astros that scored 5 to 6 runs a game.
They certainly were fun, and according to Jeff Passan, the Astros are going to aggressively pursue Josh Bell, of course, of the Washington Nationals, one of the best bats in the league. Do you see this getting done? Because I don't think they have that much time.
Well, yeah, it's tomorrow. That's the deadline. So
they got to be making those calls today.
Yeah, and look, I'm assuming that James Click is making them. I read a piece by Ken Rosenthal. So Josh Bell's the number one target, and I think that it's also interesting to note that Bell is from Irving, Texas, so there is, I guess, a reason to come back. I know that's, you know, that's Dallas, essentially. That's 4 hours away. But I think he wants to return to Texas. The problem is, okay, well, what are you going to have to give up for Bell? Probably a couple of minor leaguers. The other people that the Astros are supposedly in, and this is a weird one. The Tampa Bay Rays are so strange. They like, actually trade good players while they're in the midst of of contention. They, I guess, the Astros, if they don't get Josh Bell, will be looking at G-Man Choi, who is their first baseman, which is just a fantastic name.
One of the best names.
They called the Cubs about catcher Wilson Contreras, but the Cubs are asking for something ridiculous. So I guess they're also looking at Boston Red Sox catcher Christian Vasquez. And interesting enough, the Astros are going to play the Red Sox the next 3 games.
I think that, first of all, I did not know Josh Bell was from Texas. That's a great nugget because that definitely could weigh in his decision. According to the Washington Post, media asked Josh Bell about all of these rumors, and he said, quote, being on a good team is fun. If I were to have to sign a shorter-term deal to be on a winning team in the future, I would definitely weigh that. Sounds like the Astros.
Yeah.
I mean, home, short-term deal, a winning team, you can't deny that. And a team that, honestly, if they could use a couple more hits a game, may get closer to the Astros teams of old where we didn't have as many heart attacks in the 7th and 8th inning.
yeah, that would be nice.
Josh Bell to the Astros. Sean, do you have thoughts, comments, concerns?
My whole thing is he's saying playing winning baseball is fun. I mean, he's played for the Pirates and then the Nats the last 2 years.
Can he handle winning baseball?
Yeah, what does he know about winning baseball? Josh, I'm pre-ripping him before we even trade
for him. Is Josh Bell good enough for us?
Yeah.
713-780-3776.
Would you trust him in a big moment? He hasn't played one since he was in high school.
Yeah? Mm. Ooh, burn.
Damn.
This was passing on Sunday Night Baseball. The Astros are fully committed to acquiring Josh Bell at the deadline. Internally, they've prepared an offer that meets the Nationals' asking price, and the most prominent voices in the organization are ready to offer it to the Nationals. The most prominent voices, I think, translates to James Click and Jim Crane. So, who would you guys be comfortable with the Astros giving up for Josh Bell? Let's say that the package has to include not just guys in the farm system, but a superstar.
Pro.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
not superstars. And I mean, I don't think they would touch like Altuve.
No, we're talking about contributors, probably.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, Jake Odorizzi looked pretty good yesterday. So, for those who are maybe not the biggest Jake Odorizzi fans, you know, that
at Jeremy Branham,
at the entire show after us. Yeah. Oh yeah. Look, I mean, I'm not going to act like I'm the biggest Jake Odorizzi fan myself, but if I can trade Odorizzi or Urquidy and not have to give up any minor leaguers, I'm fine with that. But also, I mean, if you're the Reds, why would you want a veteran? I don't understand why you would want that.
Did you say the Reds?
Excuse me, the Nationals. I confuse the Reds and Nationals all the time.
It must be the Red.
If I were, yeah, it is. It is. If I were the Nationals, I'm like, why? Okay, cool. They're major leaguers, but I mean, that doesn't do anything for me. I'd probably want at least to talk about Hunter Brown in your farm system. I'd want to talk about some of the other guys that you got coming up because, I mean, yeah, you got to think long term for you. You're not doing teams favors. But it is interesting to see how these trade deadline deals almost always happen. And with the Astros, Vanessa, like just historically, you know, going all the way back to the Verlander trade, like they've given up like just ham sandwiches I've never heard of.
Right.
And I mean, for all of them. I mean, shoot, even. The Cole Hamels trade, when that happened, I don't know who any of those people are. Zach Greinke, I don't know who any of those people are. Now, part of that is because I'm a casual baseball fan, but the other part of it, I mean, they have always gotten the better end. And then, of course, you have, you know, the way longer time ago in 2016 where, you know, they get Yordan Alvarez as part of a trade. I feel pretty good about what James Click will be able to do. I mean, he's obviously not Jeff Luhnow, but I guess I'm not really stressing about it. I would like to see something happen, but I'm not... Like saying, hey, they got to do something. Look at the Mariners getting Luis Castillo. Look at the Yankees getting Andrew Benintendi. Like, I'm not freaking out about it.
6 years ago today, the Astros announced they acquired Yordan Alvarez from the Dodgers for Josh Fields via a trade. Of course, that is a trade, thanks Jeff Luhnow, that did
thanks, Dodgers.
Very, very well. And thank you to the Dodgers. God bless Josh Fields. I think the Astros won that one.
The Dodgers give so much.
They do. That's one of the trades that when you look back that's been so beneficial. Obviously, they just re-signed Yordan to a massive contract extension. He continues to be a superstar for the Astros and I think is probably the best hitter in the league. I know. What's his name? Judge for the Yankees gets a lot of the MVP chance.
Aaron Judge, yeah. But, you know, Aaron Judge has fake teeth. What is happening? What is going on? What else is he hiding?
The veneers thing has got to stop. Not everybody needs to get veneers.
He needed veneers.
His veneers look good, but there are some people that get them and they don't look good.
It does make you think, what else could be fraudulent about Aaron Judge? I'm just asking the questions. He does have an abnormally large physique. He also has fake veneers. What else is fake about
him? He also plays for the Yankees.
I can't say. Hey, Shohei Ohtani. Team is 500 games under 500 and at one point lost 600 games in a row. How can he be MVP? What is going on?
Sometimes... The natural look looks better, but yeah.
Isn't it crazy? I mean, the Angels lost 1,000 games in a row this year. I'm just going to make that number keep on going up and up and up.
Yeah.
Because it suits my agenda and my narrative.
And they have two of the allegedly the best hitters in baseball.
By the way, Ohtani's apparently available for what it's worth, because Ohtani doesn't want to play for losers.
No, why would you?
I'm happy that at least someone, unlike everyone's favorite prodigal baseball son, boring-ass Mike Trout.
Not a Mike Trout fan.
Mike Trout was totally fine playing for losers. Give him $425 million and he'll suck and then get injured and, you know, milk it and not go back on the field. I'm just kidding. I don't know if those back spasms are real. But I like that. I mean, I respect that Ohtani's like, this is stupid. Why am I here?
Totally agree. We'll see what James Click and Jim Crane decide to do.
They should trade Odorizzi for Ohtani. I think that's a fair trade.
Absolutely. I'm sure the Angels fans would love that.
And some prospects from the Angels along the way,
all right, too. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're going to get into some more NFL chatter. Obviously, that's been a huge storyline in the day. Talk about some of the big storylines from the weekend. But first, let me tell you about the biggest pro football contest in Vegas. It's back, baby. $12 million in guaranteed prizes with two ways to win and no rake. So the Circus Sports Millions with the quarterly payouts and 100% paybacks. The long and the short of that, make five NFL picks against the spread each week. Get 1 point for each correct selection, half a point for a push. $1 million for a first prize winner. Over $3.5 million in cash prizes for entries 2 through 10. Obviously, you have to be in person for all of it. And then also the Circus Survivors. $6 million guarantee payout. Choose a different winning team each week straight up without the spread. Once you choose your team, of course, you can't use them for the rest of the season. Only one winner in this contest. Do you have a trip planned to Vegas? If not, why not? Vegas is incredible. I'm going in a few weeks. We're very excited for that. Go to the Circa Casino and Resort while you're there. You can enter the contest in person, enter in Vegas, and then you can play from anywhere. So it's super convenient. Plan a trip to Vegas, enter one of these contests, and visit circusports.com for details.
Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Vanessa and Gallant.
38 days until the NFL regular season kicks off. And oh boy, we have some NFL news to talk about today. But first, we go to our jersey expert, Paul Gallant. Who is your number 38 for today?
Who can forget one of the finest quarterbacks in NFL history? Number 38, the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers from 1930 to 1940 and a New York Giant in 1944 and 1945, the great Arnie Herber.
Is that the best you could find?
Yes.
For number 38?
That is the best I could find.
There have to be other number 38s out there other than Arnie. You said Arnie Herber?
Well, hey, four-time champion, three-time All-Pro, three-time passing yards leader, three-time touchdowns leader back in the day when they didn't throw Vanessa. I mean, would we be talking about him the same way that we talk about Peyton Manning if he played today? He did win twice as many Super Bowls as Peyton Manning, although they called them NFL championships then. What do you think about that?
Yeah.
Arnie Herber, most people recognize that he's better than Peyton Manning.
Pour one out for Arnie. Now you're just trying to make me mad.
Speaking of Manning, how about another 38, Danielle Manning?
Ooh, Danielle Manning. That's a great Texas callback.
That's a really good throwback.
I liked him. He was a nice guy.
38 days until the NFL season. We cannot wait. Let's start with some news over the weekend. Deebo Samuel gets paid a 3-year, $71.55 million extension. That includes $58.1 million guaranteed.
Look, he is awesome, but he is injury prone. And it seems like just about all the wide receiver crises about whether or not they would get extensions, all those guys who were drafted in the second round a couple of years ago, they all got extended. I would say this, I feel like those guys are worth what they are being paid, but if you take a look at, on average, the top annual salaries for wide receivers across the NFL, the guys who get the most are generally playing on not the best teams. I'm not saying they're bad teams, but you're looking for Super Bowl championships. Is that perhaps an obstacle that gets in the way of that when you are paying a wide receiver, someone who touches the ball, what, like 15% of the time over the course of a season? Is it worth giving a guy that much money? And I think that is up for debate. It's a tricky decision to make. I think with Samuel and his ability to run the football, you like it. But you also have to wonder about his availability because it has been an issue in most of his career.
Well, he's just made it so clear he doesn't want to do that anymore. And my thing is if
what you're doing.
I completely agree with you. And I think that Shanahan's the perfect coach to handle that. But at the same time, if you want that amount of money, and like you said, you want to help your team, that means you're going to do whatever is possible. And I don't mean to sound corny. I don't mean to sound like a coach that gives a seminar. But if you care about winning and you care about your team, sorry that you don't like being a half running back, half wide receiver. That's one of the reasons why you're so appealing. So I think that he's going to suck it up, have to suck it up, and just do what the 49ers want.
It was a negotiating ploy. You know, I mean, if you are someone that wants to get more money, you sell the things that you can do, and you say, I don't want to do this for free anymore.
Right.
And that's what he did there.
Ian Rappaport's tweet made me happy. The 49ers and star weapon Deebo Samuel are in an agreement, blah, blah, blah. The drama is over. The bridge is rebuilt. It's a very dramatic ending to a tweet about something football related.
Normally, that's where the agent name goes. Where
correct?
Who negotiated this?
Right. Yeah.
The fans want to know.
Yeah. That's called carrying the water. All right. AJ Brown had a fun reaction to that. One of those receivers, course, that Paul's talking about. Quote: basically, all four of us got the same contract, and I'm the only one that got traded. Yeah. Keep believing it was me. Anywho, go Birds.
I responded to this tweet because you all know, if you've known me long enough, that I am in a total war against Tennessee Titans fans. I don't respect them. I don't like them. And I think that they don't know much about football and that they're more sensitive than Derek Carr. So I responded to this tweet, Vanessa, saying, given the Titans are trying to get taxpayers to build them a new stadium, it's pretty clear they're pores. And I was met with the expected reaction from the Hill folk of Tennessee.
I haven't seen this yet.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. At some point today, I'll go through some of the responses from bitter Titans fans. But just know this. From here until my dying day, I will fight those people with complete scorched earth policies. I am William Tecumseh Sherman against Titans fans. And I always will be. They are awful. They have come after me. They came first. I came to finish it, and I will finish it. And I will remind them of what an insignificant franchise they are every chance I get. And if you are still living in Houston
sweating
and rooting for that team, I think like nothing of you. I just think you're absolutely nothing. Because that team is nothing. That franchise
is nothing.
Do
Titans fans living in Houston deserve the electric chair? Call Paul and let him know.
I didn't go that far.
No, you compared yourself to William T. Sherman.
Yeah. I will march to Nashville, and after stopping at a bachelorette party and being creepy, I will burn it down.
Bills quarterback Josh Allen got in a little scuffle at training camp with one of his defensive linemen, Jordan Phillips, for making contact with him. This was a very passionate moment by Josh Allen. We haven't seen this kind of reaction from him a lot. What did you guys think of this video?
He overreacted. He overreacted. But look, you're a quarterback. You're I guess concerned about my livelihood. So if somebody does give you a shove, you're going to get mad. But yeah, he acted like a little baby there. I will give him credit for the way he handled it after the fact. You keep this stuff in house. You don't blow up the guy in the media or anything like that. But man, I hate the rules that protect quarterbacks in this league. And look, unpopular opinion, and it's only half joking, but like I don't think quarterbacks should be allowed to slide.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it's bogus. I mean, like, oh, you get to slide and you get to avoid contact altogether. And no one can even touch you. And you can fake a slide like, who's the guy who faked a slide in college?
Pickett.
Yeah, Kenny Pickett faked a slide and ran for like a 60-yard touchdown. That was bogus.
Oh, that's right. That caused like a new rule, didn't it?
They made a new rule like the next day.
They haven't
made any NIL rules, but they made the fake slide rule like in 48 hours.
Back Together Saturday was supposed to be the celebration of us getting quote-unquote back together after COVID, fun training camp, whatever. But the Falcons' Back Together Saturday ended early after two fights. Arthur Smith said, we're calling it.
Well, good for the Falcons doing something. Right, but I feel like that if you want to get in the Tankapalooza conversation, like that's the team that's going to be the worst in the NFL
could
this
be.
Year. They are brutally
Matt Ryan.
Bad. Yeah, Marcus Mariota is like their quarterback, and if you know me, I also don't think highly of him as a quarterback.
DeAndre Hopkins cannot let this go, and I like D-Hop. I liked D-Hop a lot when I covered him.
Let this one
but
go.
I don't understand why he keeps talking about this suspension. I've never taken any of that kind of stuff, Hopkins said via ArizonaSports.com. If you know about what it is, it can be shampoo. It can be in a lot of different things. Obviously, the NFL is very black and white, so of course I wish the rule wasn't black and white. Blah, blah, blah. He went on and on and on. Look, there are guys that have played in the NFL that have said it is impossible to know every single thing that's going in your body, which is why you're supposed to have a team of trainers and nutritionists that you pay that monitor everything that goes in your body. So it still falls on him. But why can't he just let it die? He didn't keep in mind, he didn't appeal it.
Well, how many things in life have you had a hard time letting go?
I mean, a PED suspension that I
would say like
games?
Something that took place where you feel like you got screwed over. And look, I'm not advocating for Watson for Hopkins
they're both,
here.
It's six games.
Yeah.
You know what?
Offenses. Damn. Right. That puts some perspective on things, doesn't it? Jesus.
Right.
Look, I mean, I guess there's the chance that he didn't do it. But
my thing,
it's
though,
just
is
hard
that
to believe
he
any player.
To appeal it if he's going to keep talking about it this much. And I like him a lot. Again, like D-Hop was one of my favorite. But like he needs to appeal it and put his suspension appeal where his mouth is if he's going to keep talking about it.
And he continues. It's like, it could have just gone through a conveyor belt. So, I mean, it is a little insufferable. But there is a part of me that wants to believe that at least one of these guys is actually telling the truth when they all say,
I think that they could be.
Yeah.
Because it is an ingredient that is in a lot of things.
Yeah.
I just think you should appeal it if you're going to keep talking about it.
Just let them all do it, by the way. Like, who cares?
Right.
They're killing each other out there.
Our last
we really
piece
care
of
about
NFL
PEDs.
News, Jerry Jones loves Zeke Elliott. He told NFL Network, quote, Elliott has to be the focus of the team's running back game. He has to be the focal point. There is room for Pollard while Zeke is still in there.
What is he talking about? Get the mic away from Jerry. Get the mic away. Talk to any Cowboys fan out there. They will tell you Tony Pollard needs to be getting more looks. And I know that I guess Dallas is going to try to line him up at slot receiver a little bit this season, and we'll see how that goes. But Tony Pollard is a good player. I'm not saying Zeke is bad, like some have sort of started saying all of a sudden. But, I mean, Pollard, I think, is just as good giving him the football. I don't think that the Cowboys should marry themselves to this idea that Ezekiel Elliott needs a set amount of touches just because they're overpaying the hell out of him.
I was about to say, I think it's all because he is determined, being the businessman that he is, to get a bang for his buck. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, a legend passes away over the weekend. We talk about his impact on and off the court, plus some possible trade rumors. That's next.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, we continue on a Monday. Lots of news in the NFL and over the weekend in the NBA. Let's start with some Texans training camp. Davis Mills talked today for the first time. We'll have some audio for that, I'm sure, for you later throughout the day. First time we've heard from the quarterback, but we did hear from Lovie Smith on Saturday. PG and I were out there, boots on the ground, if you will, on Saturday. And Lovie talked a little bit about playing in a conservative manner. Now, this is not Lovie Smith's first go-round or even second go-round as a head coach, but I think there's still some questions on what we should expect from him. Here's Lovie on the check-down plays.
Going to the other side of the ball, it's all coverage. How about that? No, but that was the case. I mean, whenever you see a corp, you know, most of our – we don't have a whole lot of design check-down. But when, you know, down the field routes are covered, you want the quarterback – you don't want him to force it. You want him to take the check down, the safe throw. That's a part of Davis's growth also. So, yes, that was definitely the case, and that's good on both sides.
I heard this, and it just made me think, Vanessa, about the many defensive-minded coaches across the NFL and how sometimes they actually get in the way of their quarterbacks developing. And look, it's training camp. We overreact to everything that takes place in camp. So I want to get that out of the way first. But on Saturday, they were trying to install third and long packages, and while the defense is generally ahead of the offense at this point in training camp, I think it's pretty noteworthy that they could not stretch the field at all, that they could not get any plays to happen downfield. And yeah, sure, you don't want your quarterback to turn over the ball. Lovie Smith, in his opening statement, though, at his press conference, was talking about how, like, we're really happy about our ball security today. Okay, but if you prioritize ball security too much, you might end up taking any of the aggressiveness out of your quarterback. And look, I mean, a good quarterback is a guy that you actually trust to throw the ball down the field. You know, that's why Marcus Mariota didn't work out. That's why Mitchell Trubisky didn't work out. These guys, they're not comfortable throwing the football downfield. So it's a minor thing. You're definitely going to have to keep an eye on this, though, going forward. Is Pep Hamilton going to be allowed to really, like, do his thing with Davis Mills, or is Lovie Smith going to insist that they do the safest thing, the most correct thing with the football on a play-to-play basis?
I'm glad you brought this up, because I agree with you. And if you want to try some different things, throwing the ball down the field, if you want to take some chances, don't you do that in training camp? Like, what are you going to wait for a preseason game to try to develop that skill more in Davis Mills? Full pads today, right, for the first time?
It was. I left before anything fun happened, which I was bummed out about. But there were two plays. And this is what we're going to overanalyze today. There were two plays where Brandon Cooks, who is like the best player on the Texans right now, had Derek Stingley Jr. lined up against him. And guess what happened? Derek Stingley Jr. looked like a rookie.
Oh.
Yeah, so, I mean,
how could it be?
There was two plays. There was a comeback route. Cooks beat him. And Stingley was playing a little far off. There was a conversation afterwards that he had with an assistant coach. And then a little bit later, there was a post-route too. Stingley, at the very least, is out there. Like, that is the positive you can take, because a couple of days ago at practice, we were wondering how much of a pitch count he was going to have coming off of Liz Frank injury. But, yeah. And look, Brandon Cooks is a very good player, so I'm not saying freak out about it. But Brandon Cooks won and won pretty easily in those two head-to-heads.
Won in a very aggressive manner. All right, it's time for a little segment we call In Case You Missed It for our Monday. And this is a pretty big one. Bill Russell passed away at age 88. It is a bummer. He lived a really, really great life. And it's funny because you can really have two conversations about him. What he did on the court, which is incredible. The greatest winner ever. There's also everything that he did off the court. Social justice, working with Muhammad Ali, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, among others, to make athletics and professional sports a safer place. You know, some of the quotes that his daughter has had over the years about the racism that they experienced in Boston is something that I genuinely can never imagine.
Some of the stories are ridiculous.
Yeah. And so, I mean, just it's really two conversations about just one incredible person.
Those stories, I mean, there's one story where people broke into his house and they smeared poop all over the walls.
Yep.
You guys know I'm a diehard Celtics fan. What bothers me the most about Bill Russell is that he was never appreciated the way that he should have been. I mean, he is the greatest winner of all times in sports. There's no arguing that. Like, the guy, as a player, I mean, he won 10 championships. And as far as 10-0 in game sevens, he won as coach. I think he was the first black coach. I know he was the first black coach of the Celtics. Note that, Jay Williams. But also,
oh God, that was terrible.
But also,
I was just thinking about that when you said it.
I think he's the first black coach to win an NBA championship as a coach in the NBA. And I mean, you know, yeah, it was a different game back then. But I mean, this was the guy that was going head to head with Wilt Chamberlain all the time, who some would argue was the greatest player ever, if you're, you know, of a certain age, probably. And I mean, he consistently beat him and beat him and beat him and beat him and beat him over and over and over again. That's what bums me out the most. He did get, like, towards the end of his life, he did get a little bit of appreciation, but Boston never treated him the way that he should have been, and it bums me out. Really does.
That's good self-awareness by you, and I think when you have people like, I even think of Dusty Baker, that they have these stories about being treated a certain way in a time that seems like forever ago to us, but it's 50 years
ago. It's not that long ago.
These guys that are in their 70s and 80s, we're our age experiencing a lot of these things. So important to remember, and rest in peace, of course, to a legend. All right. The Angels are listening to offers on everybody. This includes Shohei Ohtani, and that's via John Heyman.
Yeah.
Loves you.
Yeah. So I saw it through someone else because, of course, I'm blocked by John Heyman on Twitter. Jim Bowden, I believe, was he on the Wheelhouse last week?
I do think they had him on as a guest.
Yeah,
right?
They had him on Friday, and to just get to the nuts and bolts of it, per Bowden, he doesn't want to commit to a loser team, which is great. Good for Ohtani. You know, honestly, I don't think Trout gets nearly enough grief for the fact that he just takes $450 million to play on a team that sucks. You know, like that team's never been good. I don't know. Don't you want to win?
Right.
Don't you want to be a part of an organization that's good?
I always say, like, after you make your first couple, I don't know, I guess couple hundred million, don't you, like, want to go somewhere and win?
I mean, I do think it's kind of unfair to judge everybody for maybe a lack of desire to win, because I would also say to myself, wait a second, Paul, the person who has bought a lottery ticket for the Mega Millions, each of the opportunities that it was drawn over the last couple of times.
Are you and really, yet you're still here.
Yeah, exactly. Didn't work out, in case you missed it. Are you really saying that if you made $450 million in Orange County, California, that you would be unhappy?
Right.
I mean, no, I think it'd be okay, but what bothers me with Trout is that everyone tells me how awesome he is. And yeah, I'm like, yeah, he's a really good player, but he strikes out more than Jose Altuve. And I mean, I don't know. Like, stop telling me how good he is. I don't care about his wins above replacement. The Angels suck.
Guys, he also has a back issue, quote unquote. Something involving his
I'd have a back injury too if I had made $450 million and was living in Orange County.
Will Smith finally apologized, guys.
Emotional. Oh, yeah. We got an apology.
Apology.
It was so bad.
Do we have that audio, Sean? Let's go ahead and play Will Smith's emotional multi-camera apology.
So I will say to you, Chris, I apologize to you. My behavior was unacceptable, and I'm here whenever you're ready to talk.
I have a question.
Help.
I have a question for you guys, both on the spot. Can you guess how many cameras were on Will Smith for this apology?
Four?
No, three.
Oh.
Still, though. No. There were multiple angles, And like there's cameras like moving side to side, like panoramic, as he's answering questions that I guess like people put a list of questions up and like, hey, did Jada tell you to do that?
Some FAQs.
Hey, yeah, why didn't you apologize during the acceptance speech?
These two have to be trolling us, right? Because Chris Rock has said that he's not ready. He's, quote unquote, not ready to talk to Will Smith. Didn't we forget about this? I mean, it's like he waited until this was out of the public spotlight. He waited a couple of months and then was like, you know what?
I like that he brought it back.
Now I'm ready to apologize. That's Team Petty because it's something you would do. Well, that's why you like it.
No, I just like it because it's the stupidest thing that's ever happened. And I mean, but it made the award show actually watchable for the first time ever because all of those people just sniffing their own farts, talking about how like we need to impact change as they're like flying in private jets that are crapping out like all sorts of CO2 telling us to stop
using. Did you
see
the report that Taylor Swift flies on more private jets than anybody else in the country or something?
Yeah.
There's a celebrity tracker.
You shocked?
Her publicist was like, Taylor loans her private jet out to other people. So to say that she took 188 trips in 1 year is ridiculous.
Taylor loans it out to all sorts of people.
To the Live Golf Tour.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, you've heard the news. We continue to get the latest on all things involving Deshaun Watson in the NFL. That's next.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.